All right. Well, we've been talking a little bit about faith. Go to Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to keep you long this afternoon. I'll have you out by 3 o'clock. Just kidding. I will have you out before that. Hebrews 11, and I want to start at verse 6, but I really want to focus on Abraham a little bit. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So just title this, Living by Faith. And you know, the Lord expects us to live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives to us and how it challenges us. Thank you for the testimonies this afternoon. Just praise you, help us as your people to hold fast to thy word and to proclaim thy truth to those around us that know thee not, and encourage one another with it, we pray, knowing that your word will accomplish that which I've sent it for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible says in 4 times that the just shall live by their faith. You know, the word faith really has the idea of stepping out without really knowing, without seeing what you're stepping on. That's kind of the idea. And I'll give you an illustration of that in Joshua chapter 3, I believe it is. The children of Israel are told to cross Jordan River. Now they're told that the priests are supposed to go first. They're supposed to dip their feet in the water. The Jordan's overflowing its banks. So you can picture a river that the water is coming out over the bank of the river. So the priests are supposed to walk up to where the water is out over the bank and put their feet in the water. And he says, when you put your feet in the water, I'll stop it. I'll stop it. But they were supposed to put their feet in the water. That's faith. So acting upon the promise that God gave, they stepped into the water. And the water stopped. It stood up. You know, have you ever seen water stand up? But the Bible says the water stood up. A gray heap. Now, I don't know what that must have looked like. But then again, God can do with the water whatever he wants, you know. But anyway, that is a picture of faith. Now, we are to live by faith. And we have here in our text, and of course, there's lots of examples of faith here. Sarah herself, verse 11, Brother Mitchell preached on that. She exercised faith in God to have Isaac born. But there's a couple things I want to notice about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So he knew he was called to go. And it says that he went out to go unto a place which he should after receive for inheritance. You know, it's important for us to know the will of God for our lives, and we understand God's will through his word. And, you know, there's some general things that we can know for certain that is God's will for our life. You know, it's God's will for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you can never witness to the wrong person. Because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 also says, who will have all men to be saved and to come in the knowledge of truth. It is God's will for every saved person to serve the Lord, to be baptized into a New Testament Baptist church. That's God's will for every saved person. First Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So we're made to drink. You know, the Lord Jesus described the Spirit of God as that living water that satisfies and gives life to our, like water gives life to the body. You know, the Spirit of God is the water that gives life to the soul and the spirit, and directs us and leads us. And so by one Spirit, we've been made to drink into one Spirit. So we all ought to have the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us and directing us. And if it's the same Holy Spirit guiding you that's guiding me, he's going to guide us in agreement, is he not? See, if we believe the right things concerning God, we're going to be in agreement. Because God doesn't contradict himself. He isn't going to tell you that baptism isn't for today and tell me that baptism is for today. He's not going to contradict himself. That's just one silly example, but we see this course pattern demonstrated in the New Testament in Acts 2:41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day they were added unto them, that is to the church at Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. So it's God's will for everybody to be saved. It's God's will for every saved person to be baptized in the New Testament Baptist Church. And it's God's will for every person to obey and serve God faithfully in and through that church and where they are in life. That means, again, as we heard this morning, we're to be faithful to the commands of God as a child in school, whether we're at work, whether we're as a wife and mother at home, or in business, as a husband, father, or an employee, or an employer, whatever we do, we're to be find ourselves faithful in it. And in that place where we are serving faithfully, we're to serve the Lord faithfully. That means to be a witness and a testimony for him. Now that takes faith. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you're entering into an area of risk when you try to witness to somebody? Think about it. Is that not a risk? Of course it is. It's a risk that they may react. They may all of a sudden not like you. Or, on the other hand, it's a possibility they may show interest and they may have questions, and you may be, oh, can I answer all their questions? You know, you don't have to answer everybody's questions. You don't have to know all the answers to every question in life. You can always say, I don't know, but I will find out. I will find out. Or I will get help. You can always say, well, I'll get somebody that's more knowledgeable in the scriptures to help you with, or to find the answer to this question for you. Yeah, it's a risk. It's a step of faith. You know, so having faith in God really requires or demonstrates that we understand and know our God and our purpose for the Lord. After all, the word witness, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Acts 1:8, you know what the Greek word is? Martos. It's where we get our word martyr. So you could literally say, and ye shall be martyrs unto me. And what did Jesus say? That we're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. For he that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. So yes, it's a risk. It's a risk. Every time you open your mouth or pull a gospel tract out of your pocket and open your mouth to be a witness to somebody, you're taking a risk. Faith is conquering or overcoming the risks, the doubts. And God wants us to live by faith. Abraham here overcome this risk. He didn't know what was in the land where he was going. Now, you know, he could have started an argument with God. Well, God, what if there's giants there? You know, for all we know, Abraham may have been a giant too. I don't know. Because there were people in those days that were giants. But, you know, what if there's giants there? What if there's heavily fortified cities? What if it's overpopulated? What if it's too hot or too cold? Or, you know, he could have gave all these kind of reasons because God didn't really tell him where he was going. He just said he was called to go out into a place which after he should receive or inherit. So it wasn't really going to be his immediately. He's just going to dwell there as a stranger. Or it's like living in a foreign country. And this is the place of faith. It says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Now, the Bible really doesn't tell us. It does. There were some cities in this area. There were cities in this area. There was Beersheba. There was Sodom and Gomorrah, not far from where he settled. But it says that he, by faith, sojourned. And that means to be or dwell in a place as a stranger. And it says he sojourned in the land of promise. So something that still God had promised to give him that wasn't really actually his yet. As in a strange country. And notice, dwelling in tabernacles. That's really the idea of tents. So he didn't dwell in any of the cities with houses. He dwelt in a tent. He dwelt in a tent. In Exodus 12:40, of course, speaking of the children of Israel, it says, now the sojourning, that is dwelling as a stranger, sojourning of the children of Israel, which dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And so, this was his life. He sojourned. This is how we ought to live here. You know, if you feel at odds with the place you're living, maybe it's because you're walking with the Lord. Did you ever think about that? Because Satan is the god of this world. God isn't the god of this. God made this world, but he's not really the god of this world. Most people, you know, the great influence in this world is satanic. You know, as Brother Coomer said, in India, 0.00001% is Christian out of billions of people. We got, 380 million in the United States? I don't know what the percentage of, you know, if you can come up with a real figure of what real Christianity is in this country. But so, you know, as a child, you know, as a child, for me, the rightful place for me was at my father's house on Powell's Road, Petersburg, Pennsylvania. You know, any other place, I would have been sojourning. I'd have been a stranger. I'd have been out of my comfort zone. You know, there was one time I remember I went, spent a day at my friend's house, Peter's house. It was fun, but I was not as comfortable there as I was at my father's house. You know, we that are saved are children of God, and we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We ought to feel at times out of place. We ought to sometimes feel like most people are not as I am. That shouldn't be strange to us. They don't have the same beliefs, same practices. They don't have the same understanding about what is the meaning and purpose of life. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19-20, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given to us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You know, most people view the world as a place to get gain, to prosper, to find pleasure, and then when you get old and retire, you have a nice nest egg and you travel and you live as you please. And you die and you leave your wealth to somebody else. Sort of like the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. No, we need to live like Abraham as a sojourner or a stranger, looking for another world and investing in another world. Notice verse 9 and 10. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, as Christians living in a world that is comfortable in sin, we look for a home wherein dwelleth righteousness, where we'll have new bodies. You know, a place where we won't be uncomfortable when people use the Lord's name in vain. Or uncomfortable when you endeavor to minister to a family and the children all have different fathers. Or you go out into the world and you feel uncomfortable by the way they dress or the lack thereof. Or uncomfortable by the lifestyles espoused by many. But you know, we ought to not be surprised that the world does what the world does. Or wouldn't it be nice, ladies, where you're never again be dressed? Why do you dress that way? You know, I was thinking about this the other day with all this transgender movement. You ought to say, because I was created a woman, and I know that I'm a woman, and I just want to show you that I'm a woman. And I'm not a man. You know, a place where we never again have to deal with temptation and the wiles of the devil. You know, this one day is going to be our home, so we need to be investing in that. However, it says he sojourned in the land of promise. That means he lived there or he dwelled there as his temporary dwelling, and he served there. And this is how we are to serve. You know, Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:21-22, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose not, I know not, for what is right for, that is of the Lord. It don't sound right. Good. I hope I didn't copy another version there. I usually copy and paste. And, yeah, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, you know, we are needed here as a witness, as a light, and as a testimony for the Lord. Jesus said in John 18 to his disciples, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. And in John 15, Jesus said, the world will hate you. In John 16, he said, you'd be offended by your testimony, how you live. And in the world, we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, in our Father's house, there will be no tribulation, no turmoil, no strife. But as Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, by faith, he endured trials. He endured the tribulations. He had tests. There was famine in the land. And while we live here in this world, we're going to have our buttons pushed from time to time and our faith tested to see whether we're going to be like Abraham. You know, we're going to be like Abraham. Either we're going to say, oh, I need to go to Egypt. Or we're going to say, no, I'll take Isaac to the mountain. And I'll sacrifice my son. You know, that's a good illustration. Abraham did not honor a son above God. And so, that is the purpose of faith. It demonstrates a witness to the promises of God. You know, are we exhibiting that faith in the world in which we live? In your little world? In my little world? Your God, our Father, has left us in this world as sojourners to witness to the promises, to his promises of his coming to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ. So are you living by faith? Are you living by God's plan? Are you being faithful in the place God has set you? And are you being obedient to his purpose for your life?